What we actually wanted to go over with you guys is about 8 ways, all right? 8 things that you can do to both increase your cash flow or just generate additional income, all right? Some of these things you've probably thought of, you've already tried, you've already experienced. And some of the things you're probably like, wait, I didn't think of that.
Right.
And that's what we want you to do. We really want you to think about some of the things that we're going to talk about. So the first one is actually a little bit funny. But number one, what I have is a yard sale. Sell your stuff. All right. But it's not just a matter of selling your stuff. Y'all know as well as we know, we have things laying around the house that we no longer use. I mean, even Facebook now understands the importance of selling stuff, right? Because now we have the yard sale groups. We have the Facebook marketplace. People are selling things like crazy. Why? Because it's generating income. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you got to understand that one man's trash is another man's treasure. And when I say man, it could be man or woman. You understand where I'm coming from. But what I mean is, just because it's no longer good to you or hardly if ever used by you, doesn't mean that it can't be beneficial to someone else. So you might as well pass it off. And if financial increase or cash flow increase is of any importance to you, then there are ways that you can sell it, whether it's somewhere locally you can sell it in the form of a yard sale, or if you want to sell it online. You see, online has opened up the ability to sell things that you already have in your home and being able to take that and sell it for some form of a profit. In many cases, for equal or more of what you pay for it initially. So think about all of the things that you have laying around you right now. Think about all of the things that, you know, you have access to that you haven't used in years, and how it could bring more cash flow into your household if you just released it. So keep that in mind. What's not really important to you can be very important or beneficial to someone else, especially when you think about, you know, children's toys or,
yes,
you know, books, or, you know, just you know, you have stuff laying around your home. So find out what it is that you have, get rid of it, increase your cash flow, and do some good things with that increase.
Yeah. And like for me, you know, I experienced not necessarily the yard sale. So I should have said yard sale / sell your stuff online. All right?
Right.
Because that's actually what's popping now, is selling online. We used to give away just a lot of stuff for free. And it was just no big deal for us. You know, the kids grew out of it, or the kids no longer need it. Like baby cribs, for example. We have twins, you know, and a lot of things we used to give away for free. But I have to be honest with you, I just saw people selling stuff online. I saw people, you know, making sales. And I was like, well, I guess instead of giving away stuff for free, I can make a little bit of money. All right. So we did actually experiment. We sold some of the kids' stuff. Like I said, the kids' cribs and things of that nature. And hey, it worked out. So that's definitely one way for you to generate more income. Now, here's the thing. There's pros and cons to selling stuff online and doing something like a yard sale, right? You may get some upfront money. You may even be able to, you know, make some decent income for about a month or so if you're constantly selling. But eventually, the sales are going to stop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you only have so much stuff that you can sell, and we're not telling you to sell the things that you actually use. All right. So keep in mind, at some point that money is actually going to stop. All right. So even though that's one of the things that we think is kind of cool for you to do, sell some of your junk, eventually that money will kind of run out. So let's go on to number two. All right, number two, you guys, if you're ready for number two, show us a little love, give us some thumbs, some hearts.
Two's in the comment section if you're ready for number two.
In the comments. Yes. All right, and also, if you have any questions along the way, you guys, feel free to put any questions in the comments, all right? I'll be reading some of those questions, and we'll definitely get those addressed live.
Exactly. And then some of those questions may form into other videos and other topics that we discuss, may not be currently here, but futuristically turn into topics that you created. So your feedback is definitely welcomed, and we love it. And I just thought about something else since we were talking about yard sales. So while you keep putting the tools, letting us know you're ready for number two.
Yes.
Sometimes people take the yard sale approach and really start being the person who buys from other sellers, and they buy something at a very low cost, and then they turn around and sell it as well. So even though you may run out of stuff around your home, or you may not have that much stuff if you're not one of the people who hang on to a lot of things, sometimes you can find things for free or very low cost, then sell them, and now you just created some type of financial increase. So keep that in mind. That was something that came to mind before.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. People use different platforms like Amazon, I think.
Yeah,
Amazon,
eBay.
Like eBay, to do things of that nature. And hey, it is some additional income. So here's number two. Number two, renting out your home or car or both. Did you know that you can rent out your home? There is something out there where you can rent out, you know, your home, your condo, your townhouse, depending on, you know, the area that you're located in, and opposed to people who come into town staying in like a hotel or something of that nature. They want a more homey feel. Hello, you can rent out your home. And the same thing with your car. You can actually, if you have a really nice car, like we know a guy with a really nice sports car, and he rents that out, that is additional income. All right, you want to touch on that?
Absolutely. So what you're doing is taking something that's just something that you have, something that belongs to you, and you really turn it into an asset, which basically means it brings you in more cash flow. Because if you was not renting out that car, then it's pretty much a liability. But now if somebody rents it from them, it just became an asset. Same for your home. There are different apps. I know the app for renting out your home, condo, townhome, whatever it is that you reside in, is called Airbnb. And basically, it's power in it. A lot of times, people want to be landlords or, you know, have rental property of some kind. But if you have an extra home or something that you can rent out, now that you're renting it out through a service known as Airbnb, you're not limited to just once a month in the form of a rental payment. You can literally rent out your home or your condo 7 days a week or every weekend. Right. So now you can get multiple streams of income coming just from that one particular property that you have ownership in. So keep that in mind. So that way, if you are have any thoughts of being a landlord or having some type of property, now you can take this one thing and rent it out more times throughout the month instead of just receiving one check, which can end up being more profitable. So think about the things that you have and how you can allow somebody else to experience that through these new technology driven companies that allow you to do just that.
Yeah, most definitely. Then we have number three. You guys, if you are ready for number three, definitely type a number three in the comments.
Threes in right? the comments, please. Threes in the comments.
So that we can get into it. Because, you know, as you stated, you're not in your home 100% of the time. You're not in your car 100% of the time. So if you can actually maximize your time and make a little income, why not? You know, so some of those services are, I thought, are really unique. You know, every now and then you see a business idea or you see a new business venture and you're like, dang, how come I ain't think of that?
Right.
You know, I wonder how they have that business, you know, operating. So that's one of the things that I thought was really, really neat, just being able to not only rent out your home, but just kind of live in someone else's home for a little bit of time. Number three kind of ties right into that. It is the cash back apps. Okay, so there are some apps out here where, you know, money that you're already spending anyway on shopping, on, you know, at retail stores, at certain restaurants, at certain, you know, locations, we're spending this money anyway, but we can actually qualify for getting cash back on those purchases, all right? So there's some things out here, some different apps out here, and different services that you can use to get cash back on money that you were already spending anyway. I just want y'all to think about this, okay? If you were already going to go to Walmart anyway, I use Walmart because Walmart is one of the most popular places. People love Walmart. So if you know you shop at Walmart every single day or every other day or every week, wouldn't it be lovely to get cash back on your purchases at Walmart?
So it's basically taking the money that you're spending,
right,
and now you're able to bring in, or, you know, it's like a saving, but if you expect it to spend $20 but you get $5 back, then it feels like you just increase your cash flow. And it's a lot of companies and even banks are incorporating the cash back model. Now you have to be more careful if you're dealing with like credit cards, because that's one of the things that, you know, that introduce cash back options or rewards in the form of points. Very similar idea because it allows you to accumulate points or accumulate cash back that can then be spent on other things. But you have to be mindful when you're swiping a credit card and the interest attached to it. But that's a whole nother video. But the ability to spend money on something you're already spending money on, get cash back, you can view that as a form of cash flow. And if you set up some type of bucket or some type of thing that allows you to put the money that you got in cash back somewhere else, now you can turn that into more money or bigger savings or even some investment. So just something for you to think about as it relates to increase. Start thinking about the things you're already doing, but incorporating a different mindset to take those things further.
Yeah, most definitely. So look, those three things, and if you're ready for number four, go ahead and comment number four so that we can go ahead and get that one popping. But the first three things that we just went over with you, these are small things that you can implement. Looking around the house, gathering up some of the stuff that you want to sell, you know, looking into renting out your home or your vehicle. These are just little things, cashback apps. I'm not saying that you're going to generate so much income that you can come off of your job with these things. So now what we're going to kind of get into in this list, and it is a list of eight, what we're about to get to are maybe some things that you haven't really thought of or you didn't really consider an additional income stream. All right. So number four, I see the number fours in the comments, minimizing taxes.
Minimizing taxes, minimizing taxes. See, a lot of times people, you know, minimizing taxes doesn't really sound appealing. It doesn't really sound sexy. So they kind of overlook it, but not realizing that taxes is your biggest bill. You spend more money on taxes than you spend on just about anything. If you do the math, especially if you work a job and you think about how much you pay in the form of income tax or federal taxes or state tax or local tax, then you'll realize a certain amount of your income is going away to taxes. Now, if you think about the money that you spend in every store that you go to, there is some type of tax associated with it, and you see it on a receipt. Every restaurant that you go to, every event that you attend, there's some type of tax that has to be paid. If you tally up and calculate all of those taxes that you spent on the money that you've earned, as well as the money that you spend out into the marketplace, you'll realize that taxes is a big deal. So you want to figure out how to minimize those taxes, because if you minimize your taxes, you just increased your cash flow. Here's what I mean. If you find a way, a legal, ethical, more way to keep more of your tax dollars, instead of you paying or overpaying in taxes $1,000 a month, that $1,000 just got reversed and started coming back to you. Did you or did you not increase your cash flow? Absolutely. Especially if you can take that $1,000 and apply it to something else. So think about ways that you can minimize your taxes. We'll give some ideas and suggestions towards the end, but understanding taxes and how much is being dished out in the form of taxes, and understanding that there are legal ways to keep your tax dollar so you can do better and more things with it, is a cash flow increase like none other. People are saving five figures a year easily just off tax minimization. So if that isn't a good thing, I don't know what is.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, people, and you hear it, you know, you hear it all the time. You hear it everywhere you go, you know, and you see it all over social media. People talking about, well, my check was this much.
Right, right.
And then the government got his piece and my check was only this much. Taxes are killing so many of our people. And, you know, you have to understand that you need to really just get educated as it pertains to taxes. That's what it's all about. We're not teaching you how to avoid paying taxes. We're not teaching you tax evasion, all right? That's not what we do. However, if you really get an understanding of taxes, you know, as Marcus stated, you are able to legally minimize your taxes. And guess what? You can do a lot of things with that additional cash flow. Now you can make smarter, wiser decisions with your money, all right? So number four was minimizing taxes. Go ahead and give us a number five. Another thing that I just want to say about taxes while we're gearing up for number five, think about this, y'all. We pay taxes on everything. Everything. I mean, not only is it coming out of our paychecks, meaning it's coming off the top. We put in all the work, yet taxes coming off the top. If you're only working a job, think about this. Uncle Sam is taking his portion of it off the top. Then you're taxed on everything else that you spend money on. Everywhere you go, you're taxed. Then you have your property tax. You have your sales tax. You have your state tax. You have the ad valorem tax. Taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes. You don't think there's a way to minimize those taxes? Yes, some taxes are mandatory, but you do not have to pay the highest rate. Some of you are overpaying in taxes and don't even realize it.
Absolutely. And when you do the math, it's 1/3 of a person's income that generally goes to taxes. Mm-hmm. But you did all of the work for the money. So what we're saying is, if you earned $100, don't just unnecessarily give 33 away. That's all we're saying. So exactly. Understand how to minimize the taxes. And if you do, when you earn $100, you get to at least keep 90. You get to at least keep 85. You know, it's just all about understanding how to minimize those taxes. But view that as another form of increasing your cash flow, because I promise you, it's robbing you of your wealth if you do not understand it.
Yes, most definitely. All right. So, y'all, number five, let's go ahead and get into number five. Number five is debt elimination. Now, somebody on here is probably thinking, wait, I thought you said generate income.
Right.
I thought you said increasing cash flow. What does debt elimination have to do with this list? You want to take it off?
All right. Now, look, debt is pretty much, you know, we like to call it bondage. We always say that the borrower is slave to the lender.
Yes.
So if you have some form of debt, then they own you from the standpoint of your money, because you're strapped to it. You know, you're chained to that particular debt, or else it affects you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, anytime debt is involved, there's also interest associated with it. So when you're paying your debt and there's interest associated with it, the money that you pay on that debt doesn't all go to paying it off. A portion of it goes to what's known as the principal. Another portion of it goes to what's known as interest. So if you're spending $100 on this particular debt and only $60 is going towards the principal, then the banks or the, you know, the creditors are making 40% off of your money. So that's a cash flow. That's negative cash flow, because you're losing money just off of debt alone. However, if you chose to eliminate that debt and you knocked it out faster than what the terms allotted, because a lot of times we set up these mortgages that's 30 years or 15 years, or we have these credit cards that may have a $5,000 balance and we max it out, so it has a large interest rate attached to it. But if you pay it off sooner, you just saved yourself a ton of money on interest, because that would have been money that you would have been losing month after month, year after year. But because you paid down that debt, because you paid down that mortgage, because you knocked out that credit card bill, that interest that was going out is now coming in. A business partner of ours, he likes to say that you invest into your debt, because it's an investment. Wow. To pay off your debt, because once you pay off your debt, you pay less in interest, and the least interest you have to pay, the more cash flow you have for yourself. So that increases your cash flow once you understand how to no longer be a slave to the lender by borrowing money. Get rid of it so you can have the cash flow for yourself. And now, once that cash flow is good, you no longer necessarily need the debt, because you can pay for things in cash. I'm gonna say this, a quote that, you know, that really made a lot of sense to me. They say debt is pretty much your right to own something in advance. Yes. That you cannot currently afford. Debt is the right to own something in advance that you cannot currently afford. I'm going to let y'all marinate on that one for a minute.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's crazy when you think about that quote, because it's so true. If you could afford it, why'd you swipe your credit card? If you could afford it, why did you take out a loan? Why are you leasing? All right. And then some people are going to say, oh, well, it's to build my credit. Is it really? All right. So that's a whole nother video. But yeah, you have to understand, as it pertains to debt, when debt goes down, cash flow goes up
automatically.
Period. So that is why debt elimination is on this list, because it only makes sense. Think about it, you guys. If you have a $10,000 balance on a credit card, when that $10,000 balance is completely gone, if you were making minimum payments of what, $200 or $300, now you have a free $200 or $300 every single month that you can put to work somewhere else.
That's true.
All right. So you have to understand the importance of minimizing and then eventually getting completely rid of your debt. All right. That's your cash flow you're playing with.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely.
Number six is on the way. Number six.
Type the sixes in the comments. Type the sixes in the chats.
And now before we actually get into number six, another thing that I just want to put out there that we didn't mention, because before we talked about debt, we talked about minimizing taxes. A lot of you really probably don't realize that sometimes debt is caused by taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do I mean by that? A lot of you, you know, as we stated earlier, you're overpaying in taxes, meaning you're giving too much money away. You may be doing that unknowingly. All right. We have this conversation all the time, especially with this being around tax time. You guys, with it being tax season, you have to understand getting a large refund back at the end of the year is not smart. It's not wise. And that's not to step on anybody's toes. Look up the definition of a refund. All right. If you just research that one word, you'll know you're getting change back. You overpaid, they're giving you change back. Imagine if you were getting that kind of spread out over the year. I mean, throughout the year. So over the months, the 12 months in the year, what you could have been doing with that money, opposed to just letting the government hold it. Because that's what you're doing. You're letting the government hold your money interest-free at that. We just talked about interest. You ain't getting any interest on that money that you're overpaying to the government. So just think about it. You're freeing up by minimizing those taxes. Now you can start knocking out their debt throughout the year. Most people wait on that large lump sum at the end of the year and they say, oh, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on my credit card. And I'm not knocking anybody, because that was my mentality. That's how I thought it was supposed to go. I'm like, okay, give me a little $2,000 check. Let me just go ahead and put it all on my credit card. Then we don't even put it all on our credit card. We're just talking because you see that chunk. You see that it's probably the largest sum of money that you've received all year at once. We see that chunk and we start questioning. We're like, do I really want to put it all on my credit card? Let me do something for myself, right?
Absolutely.
Let me take a few hundred and just put it in the bank and it's gone, you know, in 30 to 60 days. So you have to understand how overpaying in taxes can actually cause you to go into debt. All right. So you got those two are kind of in alignment with one another. Once you get those taxes down, guess what? You can get that debt down, too.
Let me piggyback on that, because I know a lot of people, you know, keep the sixes coming. But let me piggyback on that. And this is what I mean. Think about it this way. She said taxes a lot of times cause debt. So here's another perspective on another spin that you can think about. Think about all of the debt that you've ever acquired. And if you don't have any debt, think about the debt that you know of that you have, that someone else has acquired. In most cases, especially if you're applying for some type of auto loan or credit card or mortgage, they want to know how much money you make. Because what they want to secure is your ability to pay them back. If they don't feel like you can pay them back, then it's a good chance that they're not going to let you borrow the money or qualify for the loan. They want to secure that they're going to get the money that they loaned you. So when they want to know how much you make, what they want to know is how much you're bringing in. But when you think about it, what do they ask for? You see, it's two different forms of your income as it relates to, especially a person who works a job. It's two different forms of it. You have the gross income, which is what it looks like you made on paper. Then you have the net income, which is what you actually bring home after everybody else has gotten their chunk. The banks, instead of them basing it on the net, what you actually bring home, they base it on the gross. But that's not what you brought home. A large portion of what's in between their net and their gross is taxes. So if the banks are basing the money that they loan you on the gross amount and taxes is in the middle, then taxes kind of put you in that predicament. Because if you had that extra amount that you were losing in taxes on hand, then you probably wouldn't have needed to borrow the money in order to qualify for that auto loan, in order to qualify for the credit card, or, you know, certain portions of your mortgage. You probably would have needed it had you had the tax dollars that you've been losing throughout your working career. So just think about that and understand the framework that's been designed to keep you needing or wanting or having to borrow. But if you just understand how to view it from a different angle, now you can gain control and you will no longer be a slave to the lender or be the borrower. You will then become the lender. So I just wanted to add that piece.
Exactly. And y'all, number six actually flows right into this convo. So y'all should be able to fill us on this one, all right? We talked about minimizing taxes. We talked about minimizing your debt. Let's talk about minimizing expenses, all right? Because now we said this in the first show, and sometimes people feel some type of way when we talk about how we have the biggest, the most buying power, yet we don't have any wealth. We don't really have anything to show for. We're not leaving anything behind for the generations after us, okay? One of the things that we really need to look at is minimizing our expenses, okay? Because, and what are expenses, okay? Because expenses and debt are two different things.
Okay,
so let's put that out there. Expenses and debt are two completely different things. A lot of people don't realize that. What you would put under debt are more so like creditors, okay? And things that you owe large lump sums on. A mortgage would actually go under debt opposed to going under expenses.
Right.
Okay? So that's just an example. Now, when we talk about minimizing expenses, we're talking about your monthly expenses. So another example, if a person is paying rent and if a person is paying a mortgage, the rent is under expenses. The mortgage is under debt. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I broke that down. So when we say minimizing your expenses, we're talking about your rent. We're talking about your utilities, your cell phone bill, your cable, your grocery bill. All right, I gave y'all that example. I didn't give y'all that example. When we sat down and we really decided we wanted to work on our finances, we found out a lot of our money was going out to eat.
Absolutely.
You know, you date and you just be so comfortable and all you want to do is just eat. We were eating like crazy on top of me cooking. All right. So we were going out to eat and I was cooking. I might cook breakfast. We might go out to eat and do lunch. And then I'm cooking dinner. So when we sat down, we were like, you know, at first we thought we were good. Started looking at all of our expenses. I'm like, we got this much coming in. We got this much in expenses. Wait, something missing. There's a chunk of money missing. Where is the money going? It was going on food, y'all. Food, yes, just greedy. Okay, but minimizing your expenses is so important. And again, we have that dollar. We're making a lot of money in our communities, but we're not keeping it. We're not circulating that money. We just go out and we spend with, you know, anybody that we want to spend with. We definitely need to reevaluate our expenses. Which one of these companies can we call? Which one of these companies can we cut off completely? You know, it's 2018. In 2017, 2016, people were cutting cable like crazy.
Left and right.
Like, if you ask people now, like, what they use for TV, it's their phone. Facebook is the TV. I can watch the news on Facebook now, okay? The news is on Facebook. I can watch a live broadcast of, like, the meteorologist standing there. I'm serious, telling me, oh, snow is coming. I'm watching this from my phone, from Facebook. So, cable had to go. So many people are just cutting the cable, but guess what? When you cut that expense, it increases your cash flow.
Automatically.
I'll let you pick up.
See, this is the thing. As it relates to expenses, and what she just touched on was basically things that you can make calls and negotiate certain deals and see, do you have to pay such a high phone bill or cable bill? Can you do it without it altogether? You know, certain things that you may be paying on monthly subscriptions that may not be bringing you any value or saving you or allowing you to grow your finances. But as it relates to expenses as a whole, a lot of time the expenses that you have are connected to your emotions.
Ooh.
Most people are emotional spenders. So they feel like they have to have something based on hype or based on, you know, what somebody else may think or based on impressing someone else or based on whatever their vice is, which is emotionally based. You know, so certain things that you have, whether it's the latest and greatest phones or the latest and greatest shoes or, you know, even certain desires that you have or guilty conscious foods that you have that you want to buy, that's an emotionally based as well. So if you can check your emotions at the door, a lot of times you can check your expenses and not overspend in certain areas. So keep that in mind. If you can check your emotions, you can check your expenses and not spend more than what you have to, and that automatically increases your cash flow. So I want you to ask yourself, you know, what am I emotional about that causes me to buy more of this or feel like I have to have this? Most of the time when people feel like they have to have something, it's a direct connection to how it makes them feel, or how they will be complimented when somebody sees that they have this, or how it makes them look. You see, a lot of people look good, but on the inside, if you study, you know, their real financial habits, they have no cash flow management. But on the outside looking in, they appear to look a certain way, and it feels good to them, but their emotional spending just kept them trapped in bondage, and they never created any wealth. So you got to understand that minimizing those expenses is one thing to negotiate. We encourage that. Negotiate certain bills and expenses, cut off the cords. You know, if you don't need cable, do away with it. If internet gets you everything that you need, right, and you can minimize the amount that you pay in certain areas, do away with it. That increases your cash flow. But if you check your emotions, I promise you that'll help you save even more money, because most people spend emotionally.
Yeah. And actually, I was thinking about this as you were saying it. Maybe for number six, I should have said minimize expenses and frivolous spending, because right, that's what it is. I promise y'all, if you were to just sit down and look at all of the money that you have coming in, all right, from each income stream, all of the money that you have coming in, and you only deduct your expenses, you have some money left over. But there's a reason why you struggle and you wait and you feed on that next paycheck, because there's some frivolous spending in there. I know I was really guilty of it. I thought I was doing pretty good because I was paying all my bills on time. You know, had the money coming in, paying all my bills. The change that I had left, you guys, I could not hold on to it. It's like it was just burning my hands. All right. It's like I had to buy something. I was thinking up things that I needed. Oh yeah, I needed new socks. I needed new shoes. I need a new purse. You know, whatever it was, I was just kind of thinking up stuff. But keep in mind, that's not a way to build wealth. And that's not a way to leave wealth. And that's just not smart. You know, think about what you're teaching your children if you have children. So you have to minimize your frivolous spending. You brought up cell phones. Even though we understand why cell phones cost how much they cost.
Yes.
We understand if a cell phone is $500 to $1,000, we of all people get it. Because we work from our cell phones literally every day. It's rare that we actually like pull out the laptop still. You know, it's rare. I have a tablet, but that's just like a big phone. All right. So we understand why phones cost what they cost. However, you are not looking at two people who upgrade their phones every year. My phone company, every time I call for just like a little customer service issue, they're like, hey, you want to upgrade that phone today? Because they see it has been years. As long as I can still do what I do, I can get on the internet, I can browse, I can make me some money, I can build my businesses, and I can talk on the phone, I can make and receive calls, I'm good. I don't need the latest and greatest. Now, here recently, I did bring up maybe getting another phone, because there are some things that we need. As business owners, we need more memory on our phones. We're filling up memory cards and stuff like crazy. But again, we are not frivolous spenders. And that one is big. We know people who have to have a new phone, the newest phone every single year. When Apple comes out with a new phone, they got to have it. Even if the camera just enhanced by a couple megapixels. All right?
Megapixels.
Yes, honey. So we even know people who, a new Honda came out. Let me get it. I got to get the newest Honda. But that one isn't even paid off. Like, why do you need the newest? So you have to understand how minimizing those expenses, cutting out the frivolous spending, is going to be a big contributing factor to building your wealth.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And think about it. As it relates to all the things that she listed, as it relates to you understanding that the latest and greatest is not required, I just want to kind of put emphasis on the phones. We understand how they can cost quite a bit of money. Yes. Especially if you're a business owner, because a phone today is not just a phone. It's not just a telephone. It's also a camera. It's also a camcorder. Yes. It's also your ability to communicate. TV. It's also the TV. It's also an educational piece. If you use it properly, you can get a master's or a doctorate degree in a specified knowledge base if you use it properly. It's a university. It's everything. Is the typewriter, what the typewriter used to be. You can type documents and have them printed. It's everything built into it. So a phone is not just a phone, and I can understand a person paying $1,000 for a phone. So that is not, you know, that's, I don't have that bone to pick. However, if a person only uses their phone to make calls, send text messages, scroll the timeline, make statuses, then you might as well just have a flip phone. You don't have to have the latest and greatest. You can have just the basics that gets that job done. But if you require certain things based on your journey in life to be able to do more than what a flip phone can do, then by all means, this is an investment and you should buy into it. But if that's not you, and most people aren't using the phone the way business owners or people who work from home or work for anywhere, from anywhere in the world, most people aren't using their cell phones in that manner, then be okay with having, you know, a flip phone or just a basic touch screen or whatever the case may be. That way you minimize your expenses and you're not, you know, overdoing something that you're not even fully utilizing, because we get that all the time.
Listen, he did not say flip phone. Okay, listen.
Flip phones. If you only use it to text, make calls, and maybe scroll social media.
I think most people, and this isn't to knock anybody again, because, you know, as business owners, we know the importance of having a good quality phone. But I think also people want good quality pictures. You're not gonna get that on the flip phone, babe.
Okay. Maybe not a flip phone, but you can get a good touch screen and you'll be all good.
My phone died. But yeah, we will take questions in just a second. Number 7, y'all. I did see one question before my phone died. I did see one question. So go ahead and put the 7s in the comments. And if you put the 7s in the comments, then we want you to
7s down in the comments.
777. Right? All right. So here's the thing. Somebody asked, how do you just really go about digging yourself out of a hole? Okay. And so I'll just kind of pop it off while people are putting the 7s in the comments. And keep your questions coming as well, you guys. We will answer your questions. But starting out, the very first thing I would tell anybody to do who just feels like, I just cannot see the light, I have so much debt, I'm struggling financially, I just don't know where to go, you have to increase your cash flow. You have to bring in as much additional cash flow as possible. And that's kind of where this list stemmed from. These are all things you can start applying and generate more cash flow coming in. Now you can at least get your head above water. Okay. We all have the same 24 hours, you guys. And a lot of the times we use the excuse of, I call it an excuse, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We all have the same 24 hours. We have the same 24 hours as Oprah. Okay. As Tyler Perry, some of the most wealthiest people that we know. What do you think they were doing to earn the stature that they're at? What do you think they were doing to actually get their millions and billions of dollars that they currently have? They were not just relying on one thing. They were, you know, working tirelessly. I mean, outside of a job, let me build my dream. Let me do what it is that I want to do. Let me work on additional income. Let me cut off some of these expenses so that I can, again, get my head above water. So if I was to give any advice, my very first thing to anybody, increase your cash flow. Sacrifice. Do what you have to do to bring in as much money as possible.
Absolutely. And increasing your cash flow comes in many forms. We've already given you about 6 things, and it's a couple other things that we'll add to it that also shows you how to increase your cash flow. Take them all. Don't limit yourself to just one thing. Do them all, and that increase will dig you out of the hole. But I'm real visual. So when she said that somebody wanted to know how they can dig themselves or get out of a hole that they've dug themselves in, I automatically picture somebody, you know, kind of underground, or they've dug themselves a hole using their own shovel, put themselves in their own situation, and how do they get out of it? You know, they've been taking the dirt and just and tossing it and, you know, kind of digging, and now they're in a situation to where they are submerged underground or in dirt. The only way you can do it is by adding more of what you threw away before back into your lifestyle. So dirt kind of represents cash flow. So you have to add more dirt into the hole. And as you add more dirt into the hole, now you have more dirt that you can step on and stand on. And right. the more dirt you continue to add, you get a little higher. You get a little higher, and you finally get to a point to where you have enough dirt cash flow that you've added to this hole to where you can just walk out easily. But you never want to dig that hole again. So it all starts with cash flow. Digging yourself a hole is symbolic to, you know, kind of throwing away money that you've previously had. But now it's all about keeping more of your hard-earned money, adding it to that hole, standing on the new cash flow so you never have to go back into that hole. So I'm real visual. That was the idea that came when you said that. But it all starts with cash flow. We got a couple of more to add to the cash flow list that I feel like you'll get some great value in, because yes. I'm sure it's something that you currently have access to, whether it's inside or all around you, that can bring you in more cash flow. But I don't want to reveal those things just yet.
Okay, so basically what he just said about digging yourself out a hole, three words: put in work. All right, put in work, period, point blank. That's what you have to do in order to get out of that situation. All right, so moving to number seven. We were on number seven. I do see the sevens in the comments.
Good.
Another way, you guys, for you to increase your cash flow and generate more income: investing your money. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to suggest that you jump straight into investments, all right? There are some things that you need in order for you to start investing. You don't want to put all your money into an investment account, but you don't have an emergency fund. Because guess what? You have an emergency, you're going to pull that money right back out. You don't want to put all of your money directly on your debt. Because guess what? If you have an emergency, you're going to pull that money right back out. It's basically, I use the example all the time of, you increase your cash flow, right? You take all that cash flow and you put it on a credit card because you have a high credit card that you're trying to pay off, trying to, you know, get away from that high interest rate, right? Put all your money on your credit card to lower your balance. And then you have an emergency. You're like, oh man, I need that credit card again. And you swipe the credit card again for that emergency. You can never get ahead that way. You're just going in circles. All right. So investing, although it's really, really important, and I'll get Marcus to kind of break down why investments are important and how it can bring you in more money, I did have to just put a little disclaimer out there that we are not telling you to go out and go buy you some stocks or some mutual funds or something today if you don't have other things in order.
Absolutely. And see, it really just all boils down to two categories, and that's assets versus liabilities. A liability takes money away from you. It robs you of your wealth, because once you spend that money, it doesn't come back to you. An asset brings you in more money. So you just kind of got to tweak your mindset, because I honestly feel like anybody can become wealthy, because most people are great spenders. Most people are great at spending money or using money, or we like to say circulating money. But most of the time, the money that you use or circulate doesn't come back to you, because you put it on something that won't bring any value and has no chance of bringing you any additional value, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's cars. Most of those things, when you buy it, is no good after you've purchased it. Whether you drive a car off the lot and the value of it goes down instantly, whether you buy the clothes and shoes is no longer brand new because you've worn them, so the value of it has gone down, or whether you spent money on food and now it's just, you know, inside until it's time for it to be released, none of it has any value. So if you're good at spending your money in certain areas, you want to become just as good as buying things that could potentially bring more money back in, also known as investments. If you just understood that, if you just said, okay, look, am I spending money on something that can possibly bring me more value or possibly bring me in more cash flow or more income, versus realizing, okay, this can possibly bring me in more cash flow, then I think you'll put yourself on a road to creating wealth. I don't care if you think about it from a simplistic standpoint of buying a bubble gum machine that you had around the house or around the neighborhood, because you know it's a lot of kids around who may want to insert their quarters. I've used that analogy before, but that is thinking in the right direction versus just buying, you know, some food or, you know, just some bubble gum itself. So think about owning something that can contribute and bring you in more cash flow, and investments allow you to do that. That's you acquiring an asset. And the same goes with, you know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, you know, just taking your money and giving it some duties, assigning your money and telling it what to do. Yeah, you will have certain expenses that you can't avoid. You want to keep a roof over your head. You want to feed yourself. You want to make sure the kids are taken care of. Keep yourself looking, you know, decent and whatever decent is to you. But you also want to be taking some of that money, and a percentage of it should go towards the future. Meaning towards an investment, towards an asset, towards some form of wealth. And here we are, royalty. That's really what we're speaking on. Right. We're really speaking on you taking your abilities or your cash flow and using it to bring you in more value, because you're putting out more value into the universe. And now that comes back in the form of a reward. And now you've increased your cash flow via investment. So assets versus liabilities. You want to decrease the amount of liabilities that you have so you can have more assets. And now those assets bring you in more money, and now you can afford to have as many liabilities as you want because you got it the right way. You use the asset to acquire those liabilities, and you still have more assets than liabilities. So it's just two simple categories that if you can just understand those and focus more on the one that brings you in more value versus the one that drains you of your value, then you'll be wealthy.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm sure this isn't your first time hearing that the bank is not the best place for your money, you know, because one of the reasons why investing, and you can look this up anywhere, one of the reasons why investing is so important is because you're putting your money somewhere where it's going to compound.
Yes.
Somewhere where it can grow. And so many people are behind as it pertains to retirement. Okay, you are never too old or too young to start planning for retirement, because I'm telling you, with the amount of people that we talk to and we work with on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, you will soon understand, and I hope not the hard way, Social Security is not enough. Disability is not enough. I was talking to a queen earlier or the other day, and she said, look, I'm on disability. I'm only getting $600 a month. I said, to live off of? $600 a month. And sadly, we hear this over and over and over again. You cannot rely on any other entities other than yourself, all right, as it pertains to building your future. You need to put something in place. Put your money somewhere where it can sit, but it can grow. The thing about the banks, just do your research, all right, because you will be really upset at the interest rate that you can get for leaving your money in the bank for a long period of time. All right. You'll be really upset if you were to look it up. And then if you were to actually look into investing your money, the amount of the rate of return that you can actually get on your money by putting it into an investment.
I love it. I love it. And see, money never stops working. You got to understand that. So if you're not investing your money, this is why you got to get really serious about money. If you think about money, when you give it to someone else, that gives them the buying power to buy something else or give it to someone else or invest that money. And if they buy something with it, now somebody else has it. It's a new rightful owner, and now they can do all of those things. So money always continues to flow. That's why they call it currency. It never stops, ever. So the same dollar bill, $100 bill, $1,000 that you once spent somewhere is still somewhere working and being spent and circulated throughout the world somewhere. So this is what you got to understand. If it goes into the hands of someone and they take that money and invest it, it was once your $100 and you had that same ability or capability to be able to put it in something that could have brought you wealth or brought you abundance. But because you didn't, and they made the decision, you know what? They spent $100 with me, I'm gonna take this $100 and I'm gonna put it into an investment account. I'm gonna use it to go towards my some more assets so I can have more assets than liabilities. The same $100 that you spent with them is now going and compounding, and it made them hundreds of thousands, ultimately millions of dollars throughout their future generations, all because they decided to do something better with it. So that being said, you got to understand that using your dollar, if you're not investing it, someone else will. If you put that money in the bank understands money. They don't keep money in the bank for long. Once they get it, they loan it out so they can get what's called interest on it, which makes them money off of the money that you put in the bank. So if you're not investing your money, the banks will. If you're not investing your money, the businesses that you're spending your money in, they will. If you're not investing your money, the money that you frivolously spend anywhere, somebody will be smart enough to realize they need to put it towards an asset. So it only makes sense for you to invest your own money. You get wealthy off of your own money versus somebody else getting wealthy off of your money. Just a simple tweak in the mentality and just continue to do what you're doing, but stop putting it in the wrong areas. We just categorize our money in the wrong places, and that's what's robbing us from being the royalty that we are meant to be, or we know we can be, in building wealth.
Woo! Right, Mike? All right, so we have one more, y'all. One more before we wrap up the show. I don't see any questions.
Eight's in the comment section.
Number eight, if you are ready for number eight, put an 8 in the comments, all right? We are giving you ways to increase your cash flow and generate more income, all right? So number 8, if you're ready, say 8. All right, I see some 8s flying through. All right. Last but not least, and we made this one last for a reason.
Absolutely.
Business income, monetizing your passion, your talents, your gifts. That can even be network marketing, y'all. But business income is the final thing that we want to go over with you. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And it's a huge contributing factor to increasing your cash flow. I'm going to let you go ahead and pop this one out because I know we can go in on this one.
Yeah, this could be a whole radio show by itself. Business income. See? Business income is pretty much you providing a product or service or something that somebody is willing to buy into in exchange for money, currency, you know, of some kind. So you acquiring business income is also an asset. So we were talking about assets in the form of you buying certain things or stocks or bonds or mutual funds, real estate, but you also have the ability to create your own business, and a business can be multiple different things. You know, it can be you creating a business based on what's already embedded into you, meaning using your gifts and talents. You see, a lot of us have free things that we have been given throughout our life's experience, and those free things can be turned into a business. They can be packaged up as a product or a service because you have the experience, but we overlook that. So you can start with very little or nothing at all and turn that into a business. I'm going to speak on someone who uses their hands for a living. If a person uses their hands for a living and they braid hair, how much does it really cost them to start a hair braiding business? They can have someone to come over to the home, or they can travel to that person's home, and all they need is their hands in order to braid that person's hair because they have the gift to do so. I mean, they may need some, you know, some cosmetics and things that, you know, make the hair even more beautiful, but that was a free gift that was given to them or that they learned along their journey, and now they turn that gift into a business, an asset that brings them in more money. So what gift is it that you have that hasn't been unwrapped and unleashed so you can share with others? And that's just dealing with gifts or something that you're passionate about. And if you have certain passions, now certain things that you have a love for or a hate for, it can turn into a business depending on whatever angle you want to take on it. So understand that it's certain things that you can do from what you already know, your own experiences, to turn it into a business. And it's important to understand business ownership because it increases your cash flow in so many different areas. I'm gonna let Ms. Smith come in and take it the direction she wants to take it, because I have a lot of thoughts. I can really give you a lot of, you know, ideas. But as it relates to business income, it increases your cash flow for one, because you're able to earn income from whatever product or service that you provide. But it's favored by the government because you're a producer in society versus a consumer. So if you produce, they give you tax benefits for being a producer.
Exactly.
So that also ties back into tax minimization. So now not only are you earning income, you're saving income on the back end from the highest form of expenses that most of us have, which is taxes. So it made you money and saved you money. So it just worked in such a way that it was an asset on top of an asset, all because you decided to take what you already currently had in you, a skill set, or develop the skill set. Sometimes you may not have something that you're passionately about or passionate about that you want to do, but you can learn a skill set, read about a particular skill set, turn that into a business, and now that business just made you more money. And businesses have no salary cap, so you can make as much or as little as you want. Talk to them, Queen. I know you got some ideas before
you come back. You touched on a lot of the points. You touched on a lot of the points that I actually wanted to make. You know, for one, I feel like everybody has some type of gift or talent or passion. I feel like everybody was born with something.
Yes.
I don't care if you just love going to school. I had a friend who said, well, I just love going to school. I just keep going back to college. Sounds like a tutor to me.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what it sounded like to me. So I feel like everybody has some form of gift. We are royalty, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I feel like we were born, we were equipped with that. Another thing, like what you stated, is that there's so many perks to being a business owner. A lot of y'all, when you think about business, you think about a traditional business where you have to go and get a venue or a location where you're paying lease. So now you're paying lease at home and you're paying your rent or your mortgage on your building. I think I said that backwards. But that's not the only way for you to run a business, you guys. I would have never thought, you know, if somebody could have told me that you can get paid for just speaking, literally, for just standing up and just speaking to people, I would have been like, what, you're crazy? Think about motivational speakers. There are motivational speakers who fly all and get flown all around the world, and all they're doing is using their voice. I mean, so we all have gifts or talents. And then another thing, as we stated, is network marketing. We don't think people should shy away from network marketing because that structure is very powerful. It is a business model in itself where there's very low overhead, all right? It looks like we might have to do a part two to ways to definitely generate income, but we just wanted to kind of bring some of these things up, you guys. Business ownership is so important. When it's yours, when you own it, when it's your gift, your talent, your business, there is absolutely no salary cap. You can make as much money as you work hard and want to make. I mean, period. It's all based on you and no one else.
Absolutely. We've been given the power to gain wealth. Yeah. And that all starts with us understanding it. So take all of these cash flow streams that we've given you. And we didn't dive too deep into each one for a reason. We just wanted to. Sometimes it's just a matter of exposure. Sometimes it's just a matter of sparking an idea, giving you an aha moment, that light bulb moment that we love and we grow from. And once that light has been turned on, you can see in a dark room and make some things happen. So take these cash flow ideas, you know, that we've given you and apply it into your life starting today. You know, don't wait. The longer you wait, the longer you allow yourself to progress and grow. So that's what we have. That's what we want to do. Give you the ability to take these cash flow tips and nuggets and ideas so you can apply it and understand that you are royalty. You see, we live in a world where we are conditioned for failure and oftentimes programmed or fooled into mediocrity. So people find themselves living like peasants instead of the royalty that they were meant to be. But you see, here in the royalty movement, we see the king in you. We see the queen in you from start to finish. It's time to take your seat on the throne, because here's where we lift your character, your confidence, and your cash flow. You see, as royalty, you should establish a solid financial foundation that will soon lead to your abundance and thriving empire. Take your seat on the throne. You are, we are, royalty. Salute.